It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Hey, welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in. Wow, this weekend is so close. Joining us now is the director of municipal property at the Show Me Institute. They have a new guide out. The first of, I don't know how many parts this will be, a free market guide for Missouri municipalities. David Stokes, welcome to the show.
Ryan, to be honest, we don't know how many parts it's going to be either.
I saw it was part one. And
this is part one. Probably be parts five or six total.
Okay. Well, this is a pretty big guide then. You're doing a lot of work. Kind of walk through this part one, the report, a free market guide for Missouri municipalities.
Well, the project is going to be about giving people, whether they be city or municipal officials, or city managers, or active citizens, just ways to conduct, to run cities, be they cities, towns, or villages, in a more sort of limited government, free market-oriented way. And to talk about ways to provide alternative service delivery, be it outsourcing to private companies, outright privatization of things like municipal utilities, or one of my favorites, sharing with other governments, usually larger governments, where the larger government can provide the policing or the permitting inspections for your small municipality so that you don't have to do this yourself. And lots of cities in our region do this already, but the whole point of the project is to take the ideas to combat inertia in the municipalities all around the state of Missouri and in the St. Louis region. And part one is sort of asking the question, how do cities get formed in the first place? How are they formed? Why do some cities have a city manager and others let elected officials run the day-to-day operations, and sort of looking into choices along those lines and analyzing them from the perspective of the good, the bad, and the ugly.
So when so many different places do things differently, and I guess one of the biggest discussions we had maybe 4 years ago was combining the police departments. Instead of having all these different areas having their own police departments, we should just centralize it, do this and do that. So I think people have been on this, the idea of doing it. It faced a vote. I mean, a statewide vote, if I remember correctly. And the whole idea that, hey, there's a lot of overlap in government that could be consolidated, that would save some money. Is that what this is about? It's just trying to find things to consolidate to save money?
Well, no, it's yes and no. Yes, that's a great example of it. But consolidation isn't always the obvious move. It's not always the right move. Sometimes you can contract out services to the private sector or to other governments, and you can keep your municipal entity but still save taxpayer money and provide better services. Under the question of policing, you know, after a few years after Ferguson, a number of cities and a number of the smaller municipalities in North St. Louis County, They got rid of their police departments and they created the North County Police Cooperative, which I think serves right around 10 municipalities right now in North County. And by everything I've read about it, it's working very well. And it is a way to provide excellent policing with greater economies of scale and greater resources for all these municipalities working into one. You know, throughout the region, there are small cities that contract with St. Louis County to do the police services within their municipality. Other cities like Huntley contracts with Kirkwood or Frontenac for police servicing. There's so many examples like that. So policing is an excellent example, not for outsourcing or privatization, because that is a function that needs to be done by government, but for service sharing with other, usually larger governments, And these are the types of things that the project is really going to get into.
Okay. And that's why you don't know how many parts it'll be, because there's a lot to get into it.
Exactly. I'm going to act like I do. I'm going to say it's going to be five parts in total. It'll be five or six, I think.
With a bonus, perhaps you can do, like they do in the movies. So the free market guide for Missouri municipalities, part one, the municipal organization and structure. I want to just look at the way St. Louis is, and I know you can look at this in a broader sense. Is the whole idea like, hey, if we can just find a way for things to get along, everyone's life gets better? Or is that an impossible feat? Do you feel like even after you put recommendations out, you're basically pushing that rock up the hill that's going to keep falling down?
Well, as somebody, you know, the purpose of this is to show how to run municipalities in a more limited government, free market way, to let citizens and neighborhoods and communities sort of grow their own lives and turn their own lives into more successful efforts. So, no, I certainly don't think that just making a few changes in city structure is going to suddenly make everything perfect in the city of St. Louis or anywhere else. I don't believe government has the power, nor should it have the power to do that. But how do you set up cities so that the taxation system is more growth oriented? And in the city of St. Louis, we don't have a growth oriented tax system. It's far too dependent on the earnings tax, to give a real and obvious example. That's not good for growth in the city of St. Louis. People might argue with some effect that it's right now there's no other alternative, but that doesn't mean it's good for growth in the long run. So, you know, a place, and we talk plenty about the city of St. Louis in this project, in this report. We talk about a lot of other places, too. But right, I mean, the city has a lot of problems. Its structure is very interesting. It's not all bad. I thought it was great that they reduced the size of the Board of Aldermen a few years back down to 14. I think that's a positive change. I think most people think the mayor, I shouldn't say that. I think that the mayor's office should probably wield a little more power within city government. Is whatever you think about who's ever holding that office, I think they can be too easily stymied by bureaucrats in certain ways and the Department of Personnel and elsewhere. So, yeah, I think we need to make a lot of changes in how the city operates. But my goal is just to talk about ways to set up your city in, again, a more growth-oriented, prosperity-oriented, limited government way to allow people to build their own successful lives, which is, you know, the story of America.
Well, let's just say this, and I'm going to paint a pretty broad brush here. When you have an area that historically has been run by Democrats, saying limited government's not necessarily something they're on board with. So what do you do? Do you basically take this to the people and say, all right, if you want this to happen, it's going to be in your hands. You're going to have to get initiatives together. You're going to get this on the ballot. That's the only way, because you're not going to get the politicians, at least the ones that are sitting here, historically speaking, to get on board with an idea of more limited government.
True, so let's talk about a new committee that the city of St. Louis has. They have a new committee on regulatory reforms in the city. And so far, they've only done a few things, but they've been positive things. So I think my thought, when you have, you know, dealing with St. Louis or Kansas City, places with who are generally run by people who believe in a more expansive government, that maybe, sure, they're not going to take the wholesale changes. And I'd love to privatize the water department. They're probably not going to do that. But you can also talk to them about making smaller incremental change, the same way that they just passed a bill to get rid of the limitation on barbershops being open past 6 o'clock, which was a ludicrous regulation that they should have never had. But I give them credit for at least getting rid of it now and realizing that that's a regulatory burden they shouldn't have. Similarly, they simplified the process a few months ago, the same committee and the Board of Aldermen, in getting an alcohol license for your bar or restaurant. I think not everybody was in favor of that, but I think many people agree, and I do, that the old process was overly complicated and overly burdensome. So here's a way that you've got city officials who probably don't agree with the Show Me Institute on a lot, but they're doing some really good work in a few narrow spots in reducing regulations on businesses in the city. So I'd love to focus on that and find other ways to encourage that, work together, maybe being realistic about how far they might want to go, but really focus on the ways to work together and make improvements. Maybe in some places you can make a big change, and others you make some smaller changes, but you're still trying to work together to work in that right direction.
Yeah, you know, I would like to think myself as libertarian tendencies until you say things like, let's privatize the water department, because that scares me. And I'll tell you why, because, you know, they privatized trash pickup in St. Louis and then they don't pick up the trash. What's going to happen when the water doesn't get the job done and you're all of a sudden you turn on your tap and it ain't there and it's a private company? Then you're really in trouble.
Well, except that wouldn't happen. I mean, a couple of years ago, Eureka privatized its water and sewer division in St. Louis County. And it's been they were the last city in St. Louis County to fully operate their own water and sewer system. And they sold that to Missouri American after an open bid process. And that's been great. 20 years ago, Florissant and Webster Groves privatized their water division. So it can be done.
Okay.
And look, if it should be done. And if it were privatized, it would, because it's a monopoly, it would still be heavily regulated by the State Public Service Commission. And look, the city water division, I don't blame the people in the water division, but they have the same problems that every municipal utility has, in which case because the customers are also voters, the elected officials are hesitant to raise rates until it's a disaster, and they absolutely have to, like happened a year ago. But they'll go decades without raising rates, which means they don't invest in the system, and then things fall apart, and you're playing catch-up. So I'm not a fan of municipal utilities in general. And again, everybody in St. Louis County is served by private utilities. It's one of the largest parts of the country where everything is private, gas, electric, and water. And in St. Louis City, the electric and the gas are privately provided, and nobody, you know, flips the light and the electricity doesn't come on. So that's how it would work with the water. But yeah, that's a big one. And I'm also perfectly happy to focus on smaller incremental steps in getting these changes as we see around the region.
Which, by the way, if people wanted to look up the report, at least part one, and maybe want to learn more about some of the future ones as they come out, where can they go?
Go to showmeinstitute.org, right on the main page there. Again, the first one's about structure and organization, a lot about the questions of city managers and city administrators or not having anything at all, like how Florissant is one of the largest suburbs and doesn't have a city manager. St. Louis City, of course, doesn't have a city manager either, as compared to Kansas City, which does. Who gets in a lot of those questions? It talks a lot about the costs and the benefits of fragmentation in our region, particularly in St. Louis County. And oftentimes we talk about the costs and the harms of that. And there are those, definitely. But there's also benefits to it. And it really gets into that whole idea. And then talks about, you know, why did people form cities in the first place? And you can be like Wildwood, who incorporated a municipality about 30 years ago because they wanted more control of land and more control of development in the region. Or you can be like the city of Pierrepont near Columbia, which incorporated about 15 years ago because they didn't want more regulations. They didn't want more land control. And they feared Columbia was going to annex them and do that. So they incorporated so that they wouldn't have those things. So, you know, different strokes for different folks, as people say. And that's that rhymes nicely with my last name. So I've always liked that saying. And that's just sort of what the paper's about.
So that would be your book title?
Sure. Different strokes for different municipal strokes for different city folks. Sure. We'll go with that. I love it. You get royalty for helping me come up with it.
Well, how about this? Just say, and thanks to Ryan Recker for help on the title. That would be nice. But it does really work. And I am a sucker for things that rhyme. That seems to really grab my attention. And there's a lot of problems that need to be fixed. Is it possible to fix these problems? I mean, I'm going to go back and say, hey, let's just be realistic here. Is it even possible to fix some of the things that you're proposing? Or is it such a tall task that there's no person up for the job to do? It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
I think it's possible, and I correct me if I'm wrong, I assume you're sort of referring to the city of St. Louis more specifically here, which is definitely struggling right now. But it is possible to address these problems. And I think citizens and communities have to do a lot of this themselves as neighborhoods and residents and people investing in their own community. Look at some of the neighborhoods like Soulard and Lafayette Square that over the decade and all around the city that over the decades have revitalized themselves. But you want to talk about an opportunity for optimism. Look at the city of Detroit, which, you know, hit rock bottom a decade ago with a state takeover and a bankruptcy filing. And will those things be necessary for the city of St. Louis? I hope not. I don't necessarily think they will be. But, you know, sometimes you have to hit bottom. And then you can, like Detroit, really start a turnaround as people start investing in the city and moving into the city. So, yeah, if Detroit can turn it around, and they were in far worse shape, I believe, than the city of St. Louis is, then anything can happen. So there's absolutely a chance, a reason for optimism. And I think improving how government does things is one of the ways to help accomplish that.
Here's what I'll find, and I'll say this. And, you know, I lived in St. Louis for a while until I moved here to Detroit. So they still ask me to do fill-in shows remotely, which is, you know, a true honor that I get to still connect with the audience that way. But you hear the stories about Detroit being a comeback city and all these other things that they say about it. But what you realize is when you get down to the street level, you realize there's a lot of cosmetics on it to give it that phrase. And there's a lot of people that don't see it or feel it. And there's still a lot of problems with the bankruptcy and what has come from it. All these people were promised things. Police officer pensions is a good example that they're not going to get. And the bankruptcy took a lot away from people. They gave a lot of money to people that already had a lot of money, like the Gilberts continuing to grow. So I'm going to compare that to St. Louis. There's a lot of people that will be cheerleaders for St. Louis. But when you get back down to the streets, you realize it's business owners that are tired of bricks going through their windows, their patrons getting their cars broken into, and people not wanting to come down because they don't feel safe. And you can talk about the comeback. You can talk about all the other good things. But man, when you get down to the street level and you talk to the people that are actually living it, they're just not happy. They got to consolidate part of the cheerleading side of it with the reality, I think. And it's got to be like that with a lot of cities.
Right. And, you know, I know we're not here to talk Detroit specifically, although as a Detroit Lions fan, I'll talk Detroit all day. But there's problems Detroit had that St. Louis just doesn't have. And the main one is the enormity of the city, where they just got to the point where it was so large and with so few people living, they had to practically cut off services to the outer parts of the city. A, they didn't have the money, and B, it was just logistically impossible. So that was a fact that St. Louis City won't have. And St. Louis City, I think, I'm not trying to encourage some sort of consolidation or merger or anything like that, but ways for St. Louis City to operate alongside and work with St. Louis County and other parts of the region, I think those are excellent. And then one small example would be the police helicopter service, where the county and the city and St. Charles share the police helicopter unit, so they don't have to all fund their own one. That's just one of many examples for opportunities for cost savings and taxpayer efficiencies that can help everybody out.
Awesome. All right. Again, if people wanted to read the guide or at least the start of it and then know where to go for the other ones when they come out, where do they go?
ShowMeInstitute.org, and people can follow me on Twitter at David C. Stokes, and appreciate the opportunity to talk about it on the show. I always enjoy listening to you all, and hope the listeners check it out.
David Stokes, Show Me Institute. Go check out the guide. First one's up of possibly 5 or 6, or you know what? They may feel froggy. 7 or 8. You never know. They can keep finding more ways to help.
Get big.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Always enjoy it, sir. Thanks.
All right. We got the cut of the day and the weekend coming up. Really excited for that. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Reardon on 97.1.
Get more at 97.1talk.com. It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.